You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of What's Up Broadway. We are your listening hub for Broadway breaking news, industry interviews, what's trending on theater socials, and fan Q&A. Today, I am back with my co-host, Martine Acuna. How are you today, Martine?
I'm good. It's been weird since Mercury retrograde, but I've been navigating it.
Same. I feel like communication has definitely been weird since it started. And so I'm glad that we're both here and we're making it.
Yeah.
but let's dive into the obvious. Diana the musical.
Ooh, okay. I know you have some thoughts.
I have lots of thoughts, but I almost want to say that this is a disclaimer that I only watch the opening number because I have to see it on stage to review it. So I'm technically not supposed to watch the full show, but I already have thoughts on the opening number. So what are your thoughts on the full show? Because I know that you saw it.
On the full show. I mean, I love drama. So I love that the opening number starts with Camilla and Diana.
I just love that.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, there's some tea. Like, we all know the story. We all know what's going to happen. I remember, like, reading someone on Twitter that was like, they are foreseeing that Diana and Prince Charles are going to get married on the opening number. And I was like, girl, where have you been the last 45 years of your life? Like, we all know the story. But I love that. The show has a lot of room for improvements, as any other show, but I thought that, in musical terms, I loved it. It sounded great. I was, like, I screamed several times thanks to the dress department, and, like, all the scenic design, and mostly the dresses in this specific number that I think it was the closing, act one closing number. I just loved it. And I screamed because it was dress after dress after dress after dress. And it was like, ooh, I like this. The fashion of that show is French Kiss.
So I put on socials that, like, if Diana didn't give us anything else, it for sure gave us costume changes.
Yeah.
It gave us memes and it gave us great captions, punny captions for Instagram. And that's literally where it stops. I don't think anyone who's buying a Diana ticket is going to be looking for a life-changing musical. It's not going to be life-changing. It's very cheesy, very 80s pop rock. It's nothing that's supposed to be super exciting. You know the story. You're just going to have a good time. And listen, on that note, let's get into some Broadway breaking news. Very exciting news. Lin-Manuel Miranda shared the opening track to his next musical film adaptation, Tick, Tick, Boom, called 3090. The song is sung by Andrew Garfield, Joshua Henry, Vanessa Hudgens, Robin De Jesus, Alexandra Shipp, and MJ Rodriguez. What a phenomenal song. What a phenomenal lineup of people singing. Like, I mean, this is why Lin-Manuel Miranda is everywhere, because he knows what the hell he's doing. Aladdin has suspended performances until October 12th due to COVID-19 breakthrough cases detected in the cast. They released a statement that said, and I quote, "We apologize for the disappointment and inconvenience this causes ticket holders, but we trust that audiences agree that safety must be at the forefront of our return to Broadway," end quote. We wish the cast and crew of Aladdin health and wellness on this journey. Thoughts of a Colored Man, the new Broadway play by Kenan Scott II, has pushed up their opening date and now will officially open on Wednesday, October 13th. This production also teamed with Merch, the first Black-owned Broadway merchandise company, to create and sell merchandise exclusively for Thoughts of a Colored Man. Merch was founded in July 2021 by Brandon Gloucester and Brooklyn McLean. And very exciting news to me, Pal Joey, the Rodgers and Hart John O'Hara classical musical, has been revised in a brand new production that will be heading to Broadway in 2022 to 2023 season. There will be a new book by Richard LaGrobbins and iconic co-directors Tony Goldlin and Savion Glover, who will also do the choreography. We love Savion. Adapting O'Hara's book so that the primary setting of the plot is a Southside Chicago nightclub in the 1940s and changing the characters of Linda from a clerk to an aspiring singer has enabled the creative team, with the permission of the Rodgers and Hart estate, to interpolate some of the team's greatest songs into an already memorable score. Additions to the score include Where and When, The Lady is a Tramp, It's Never Entered My Mind, My Heart Stood Still, Falling in Love with Love, and There's a Small Hotel, among others. I am so excited about this, Martine. So much news already this morning. I mean, what do you have to say about any of this?
I am really excited. I've been following Savion for a long time since he's a tap dancer, and I'm just excited to see him do something again. I'm like really excited for that production.
And Pal Joey is one of my favorite classical musicals, but it's never really had a successful run on Broadway. But I'm really interested in seeing Savion as a co-director and what he takes, or his take to this show, and also, you know, a new book, some songs that really don't are like from other shows that they're bringing into this. I mean, There's a Small Hotel is one of my favorite songs of all time. Rodgers and Hart, I always say Rodgers and Hammerstein are the popular, but the Rodgers and Hart collaboration has the better songs to me personally. And so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I could somewhat agree to that, because their collabs are powerful.
And what do you think about Tick Tick Boom? I know you watched the trailer, the new trailer. Did you hear the new song?
Yes, I have to confess, I haven't heard the original Broadway cast recording. So Tick Tick Boom is all new for me. And listening to this new song and watching the new trailer, it was like, oh my God, yes, thank you. Like, we've been getting so much either pro shots or film adaptations from musicals that it's just like, thank you. This is what I needed to get out of this pandemic. So keep getting vaccinated, keep wearing your mask, and keep doing pro shots. So Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra Jonas have joined the roster of producers for the Broadway production of Chicken and Biscuits. Also, the Tony-winning revival of Chicago, which opened its doors September 14th, has joined forces with the Broadway League to present Aviva Broadway Night, celebrating Hispanic and Latino theater makers and audiences, which will take place October 18th at the Ambassador Theater. Portions of that evening's performance of the long-running production, which is celebrating 25 years on Broadway, will be performed in Spanish. I'm really happy and excited for this. The company is currently led by a trio of Latin leads, Ana Villafañe as Roxy Hart, Bianca Marroquin as Velma Kelly, and Tony winner Paulo Zott as Billy Flynn. My people are singing in Spanish, and this moves the deepest fibers of my heart. As a Latin theater maker, performer, worker in the entertainment industry, just listening to Broadway stuff in Spanish, it makes me feel included. So it's a deep emotion, and I'm on the verge of tears right now for this. Also, the owners and operators of all 41 Broadway theaters in New York have extended the vaccination and mask requirements for audiences through the end of the year. This is huge and important. How do you feel about this, Ayana?
First of all, I can hear like you choking up about Chicago Viva Broadway. Yeah. That's so important. Like, I really think it's so important to make sure diversity, inclusion, nights like this, we're getting so many Black theater nights. And yes. I feel like, you know, we've had Asian American nights for some shows. This is something that has been missing. And I am so happy that this is now being included. And you have to find a way to get to New York for October 18th, obviously. And also the Broadway League. Thank you. I want people to come back to theater. And the safest, best way is to, you know, make sure that people are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Masks are staying on throughout the entire show. So important. So very important. And congratulations to Doug Lyons of Chicken and Biscuits. Nick Jonas and Priyanka, like, how you, that's like, wait a minute. What? Like, and Douglas is a good friend of mine, but it's like, wow. He's like knocking it out of the park. And I'm seeing Chicken and Biscuits like playbill shots all through social media. Very happy for him.
Yes.
On that note, let's get into some show openings and casting announcements. Dana H held its first preview last Friday, and I must say the show is better than ever. And not just because I'm an associate producer on it. The Broadway premiere of Lucas Haneff's documentary play will officially open on October 17th. The play details Haneff's mother's real-life kidnapping by a patient in the psych ward where she worked as a chaplain. This show, Martine, off the chain.
Really?
Literally, I went to the dress rehearsal. I mean, I saw the show. The show had its original production at the Vineyard in 2019, like right before COVID shut down. And I mean, it's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. But like on Broadway, it's like, oh my goodness, this show is going to knock people's socks off for sure. Six also opened yesterday. And what a glorious opening night those ladies had. I mean, have you seen any productions of Six, Martine?
No, I've seen a lot of videos mm-hmm. of either opening number or closing number, but I haven't seen the whole show. I've heard it is insane. I have to confess that when I listened to the cast recording, I wasn't into it, but then things changed and I loved it. Like, musically, it's brilliant. The dresses of those girls are just, again, beautiful. And I've seen the parts of the production online and pictures, and it just, I feel it's going to knock people out of the park, and it's going to knock Broadway out, too.
That's really interesting. The reviews are fantastic, but people did bring up a number of things, and that's including like abuse to women and making like light and fun of it, because historically these women have like been through it by this man.
Yeah.
Especially like he beheaded one of them, or was it two of them? I don't remember. This is kind of makes light of that. And it's, I don't think that can happen. Like, you can't have like such a phenomenal musical and make light of something that's so
deep and dark.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. Deep and dark. It's a little bit harder than that. Yeah. But I liked the show. I definitely think it was a good time. It reminds me, in no specific context, but it reminds me of when I went to Moulin Rouge. Like, I don't think I was expecting much. I was expecting to have a good time. Mm-hmm. I came out with like, yes, that was a good time. That was successful. The story for me is just a little weird. But also, like, their opening night party was stunning. Stunning. I posted pictures of some of like, of some of like the room, like the ambiance was insane. The room was, they had purple lights everywhere and then candles that gave like this orange hue around the space. It was in this huge open hall. Really fun night. I mean, those girls really deserved it. They've been through a lot. Could you imagine your opening night set on the day Broadway shut down? Like, you were supposed to open an hour, and then
bye-bye.
Exactly. You get an announcement that, yeah, it's not happening. And so the party was lovely, and I think, you know, the girls definitely deserve that. And congratulations to them, because they are working their tails off on that show. In casting news, a new production of Macbeth is headed to Broadway next year, starring Daniel Craig in the title role, alongside Ruth Negga, who will make her Broadway debut as Lady Macbeth. Casting for Manhattan Theater Club's Broadway premiere of Skeleton Crew has been announced. The cast will feature Shantae Adams, Brian J. Durden, Adesola Osakalumi, and joining previously announced Tony Award winner and five-time Emmy Award nominee Felicia Rashad. Skeleton Crew is written by Tony Award nominee Dominique Meursault and directed by Tony Award winner Ruben Santiago Hudson. Skeleton Crew will begin performances Tuesday, December 21st, 2021, and open Wednesday, January 12th, 2022 at MTC Samuel J. Friedman Theater. Okay, Martine, let's talk really quickly about Macbeth. Are you excited?
I am not. It's because I'm kind of done with Shakespeare. I've seen so many productions of Shakespeare lately that it's just like, can we give the dude a rest for a bit? Like, I know that he wrote a lot of things during a pandemic, so it's like kind of a full circle moment for his plays to be on a stage right now, but I am not a fan of Macbeth. And yeah, just give him a rest for a bit.
What I would prefer Daniel? New shows. What about Daniel and Ruth? I think they're going to make an insane, like, couple on the stage. Yeah, that's really going to be like, I mean, have you seen, like, any of the films that Ruth has been in? She's, like, a phenomenal actress, and I cannot wait. Yeah, I can't wait. Anyways.
So, Girl from the North Country has announced the full cast for the production's return to Broadway on October 13th. Colin Bates will be joining the cast in the role of Jean Lane. This show will begin performances on Friday, February 7th at the Belasco Theater, and opening night will be Thursday, March 5th. Performances will resume on Broadway on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. Roundabout Theatre Company has announced the full cast starring alongside LaShawn's in the Broadway production of Trouble in Mind. Michael Ziegen will star as Al Manners, Chuck Cooper will star as Sheldon Forrester, and Danielle Campbell will star as Judy Sears. Also, casting has been announced for the upcoming national tour of The Prom, and this cast is going to be mind-blowing. Caden Kearney will star as Emma, Kaylin West as Elisa Green, Courtney Balin as Dee Dee Allen, Patrick Wetzel as Barry Glickman, Emily Borromeo as Angelique Dickinson, Bud Weber as Trent Oliver, Sinclair Mitchell as Mr. Hawkins, Ashanti Jaria as Mrs. Green, and Shavae Brown as Sheldon Saperstein. The hilarious hit Broadway musical comedy, which won the Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Musical, will run technical rehearsals at the Carson Center in Paducah, Kentucky, before launching at Playhouse Square in Cleveland, Ohio, on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021.
Very exciting. Let's get into some theater socials.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So you just spoke about the cast, and the new prom casting has been literally the talk of theater socials. And it's the diversity I believe all of us have been screaming for, not just racial diversity, but gender diversity, and age diversity. Literally, this is it. If we needed an example of a musical that had all of this, I would bring The Prom up in like every school, every college. Like this is it.
The lead being non-binary performers, I just think is what we need it right now. And more after the Tonys, Jagged Little Pill, and all the conversation that you've had with Christian before. I just think The Prom knew how to play it and really stepped up and really said, we are here, we will recognize, and we will put all of our bets to change the game.
And what I think was so important that Christian and a number of people said on social media was putting the gender identity of every cast member on socials and in their press release. I think that's very important. I know that a number of people have spoken up about putting gender identity in playbills as well. And I've seen it happen, but I don't think it's a mandatory requirement. And I think that, you know, moving into 2022, I think we should take a look at how we are creating bios and putting it out there. And I think it's really important, you know, to not just have your name, but absolutely your gender identity. And so, I mean, the announcement couldn't come at a better time, right? Yes. It was like such perfect timing.
Yeah.
Also on theater socials, Broadway Flea is like Broadway Christmas, right? I mean, last Sunday, to benefit Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, the theater community came together to purchase all sorts of goodies. There was everything from signed playbills, signed candles from Hadestown. I saw a cast that Evan Hansen wears in Dear Evan Hansen on set. It's literally like Christmas Day, like a holiday. I mean, have you ever been to a Broadway Flea?
Not yet, unfortunately, but Flea and Broadway Con and an opening night are like three of the things I have on my bucket list before I die. It's like Christmas Day.
Yeah, Broadway Flea is definitely something you have to go to. I didn't get everything that I wanted because, I mean, I was happily working with Broadway Podcast Network. We had a few interviews and we're doing a special Live from Broadway Flea episode, which I'm really excited about. But there were some things that I really, really wanted. One was being a Once on This Island t-shirt. So if you're anyone listening who had anything to do with Once on This Island, please send your girl a t-shirt. That's the only thing I really wanted. But I did get a Once on This Island picture book. I also got the script for The Father, which is one of my favorite plays of all time. And so, you know, I got some goodies, but, you know, people stopped by the BPN table and said, look at what I got, Ayana. It was like so lovely to see people really excited, people back in the community. I think that's an event that's really for us. And so it was good to see people out and about.
And you also met a lot of people that you only had met online.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I met so many people. So many people just came up and said, are you Ayana? It was like so crazy. I've never thought that this would ever come to this point, but it was really nice seeing people outside of Zoom boxes or outside of like Clubhouse or Twitter or anything. It was really nice to see people in person. And the day as a whole was really beautiful. And so, you know, look, make sure that next year you have everything written down, Broadway Con, Broadway Flea, and you get out here. Okay, Martine, that's on your list.
Yes. Let's-
Before we wrap, make sure to check out BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com for new episodes, including Broadway Gives Back podcast chats with performer and In the Heights assistant choreographer Luis Salgado about telling original stories of Latin America and making art with a purpose. The Theater Podcast with Alan Seals talks with theater producer Jill Furman about Freestyle Love Supreme and the project she has in development. Now We're Talking Podcast links with Anne Harada about Schmigadoon and life during the pandemic. Page to Stage Podcast chats with playwright Douglas Lyons about bringing his show Chicken and Biscuits to Broadway. Broadwasted Podcast talks with the cast of Freestyle Love Supreme about mango, mezcal, margaritas, and theater games. And don't forget to check out BPN's Best Kept Secret, As the Curtain Rises, the true story about the fictional creation of Avatar the Musical. You can find episodes at bpn.fm/ATCR. Make sure to download our iOS app at bpn.fm/app for early access to all these episodes and more. So we asked on socials, if you're introducing someone to musical theater, what are some of the productions that you would suggest? Martine, any idea?
I would go with something maybe they already know, as in a Disney production, because I think that musical theater, I mean, if someone goes to Wicked, to The Phantom of the Opera, to Cats as their first production, they will hate it because they are dense. They are they're musicals that are great, but they are so packed with musical theater stuff that people will probably avoid it at the first time. So I would go either with something they already know or something way fun for them as an experience instead of the show. As you said, Six, Moulin Rouge, maybe Hamilton, because they have heard it even though it's a sung through musical. But I would definitely go with something soft, not that dense, not that deep. I don't know.
That's interesting. I think it depends on the person, right? And what they like. But yeah. I definitely agree that Disney productions are like the safe bet to be like your first. I think if Beauty and the Beast was ever to be revived on Broadway, I would introduce someone to musical theater through Beauty and the Beast, because not only is the story very familiar, but like that's a production. Anytime I've seen Beauty and the Beast, it's been an over-the-top production. So that's something that I would say yes. But also something that's really dark and deep and really explains musical theater. And I would say Sweeney Todd, something that's so dark and so deep, but so like gets a story really going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to say to your Cat's point, you said that they would hate it, but a lot of millennials remember Cats being their first production that they saw, and now they are in love with musical theater or in theater in general. So while I personally agree that I wouldn't take someone to see Cats, I don't know if they would hate it, because it really made me fall in love with theater. Yeah. It made me want to work in theater. And so here we are. So maybe Cats, maybe not Cats. That the decision is yours.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Martine. And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of What's Up Broadway. You can learn more about What's Up Broadway at bpn.fm/WUB and connect with us on Twitter at B-Way Pod Network. Send us a hot tip at bpn.fm/hot tip. And please make sure you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a rating and tune in next week to another episode of What's Up Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUPs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.